This is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. We have explored in past programs here on The Source problems with predatory payday loan shops. They stick working class families with mega high interest loans. We hear about the families that have no choice but to subject themselves to these outfits because they're in an emergency or they're behind in their bills. They have no place to go. They need help, but they need some place that if there was another place they could go, they might go there. So that is something that is changing. Local organizations are working on bringing an alternative lender to the streets. But how would that work? And could it work? And would the community support it? We want to hear from our listeners. Call in. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. You could also email your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org. And we are joined this half hour with Dennis Knoll. He's the president and CEO of the San Antonio Area Foundation. Matt Hull, he works with the Texas Community Capital. He's also the executive director of the Texas Community Banking Association. And Ann Bador, she is the policy analyst with the Texas Appleseed in the area of consumer protection. Welcome to The Source, y'all.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
So the San Antonio Area Foundation, y'all do so much trying to help nonprofits in San Antonio take on big causes. And tell me about why you are looking at trying to bring this alternative to these payday loan shops in San Antonio.
Well, one of our focuses at the Area Foundation, as the Community Foundation for San Antonio, is to find areas of disparity where there are real problems in San Antonio, and we want to find ones that are unaddressed. So you could look at various issues in San Antonio like homelessness. We have Haven for Hope, and it is a world-class transformation center. We do have problems with hunger in San Antonio, but the food bank is terrific. Predatory lending, on the other hand, has gone under the radar, and we really don't have a lot of focus on it. And today, we don't have a good alternative for small-dollar loans for people. And as a result, folks often feel that they don't have a choice to do anything but to go to a predatory lender. That's a quick answer to a very difficult financial problem, and as a result, people only get in deeper. So we've brought together an anti-predatory lending coalition, and we are hoping at some point to fund not just one fund in San Antonio, but hopefully several funds that will be alternatives to predatory lending.
Matt Hull, with the Texas Community Capital and the Texas Community Banking Association, tell me about where this is working already. Is San Antonio having to come up with this on their own, or are there some models to follow?
No, fortunately, there are other models out there across the country that are already up and running. We're taking a program that was developed in Brownsville through a group called the Rio Grande Valley Multibank. They're a Treasury-certified community development financial institution. We're taking their program and taking it statewide. Their program works by having employers sign up, and then the Rio Grande Valley Multibank staff goes out and markets the loan product to the employees. It's a maximum $1,000 loan at an 18% interest rate, and it's paid back through payroll deduction. So my organization is looking to replicate that across the state through a network of nonprofits. And fortunately, in San Antonio, we're looking for partners there, but it's an established product. It's been in existence for about 2.5 years. They've made about 2,500 loans down in the valley. They've provided about $2.4 million to borrowers. And by their own calculations, they're saving borrowers an estimated $778 per loan as an alternative to if they went to a payday lender storefront.
So Matt, can you tell me about an individual who may have gotten involved with this new alternative to community? What's a good way to describe what we're talking about? It's a community payday. You don't want to call it a payday lender. What is it, a community lender? What is it?
Right. It's a community loan center. Loan. It's a small dollar loan. It's not a payday loan. Payday loans typically have to be paid back in full during the next pay period. Ours is what we would call an installment loan. It's a traditional small dollar loan. Again, it would be a maximum of $1,000. The borrower has up to a year to pay it back. And so on a typical $1,000 loan, they're going to pay back about $123 in interest and fees over the course of that year. That works out to an APR of about 22%. as opposed to a typical payday loan in the state of Texas right now that has an APR somewhere in the 400 to 500% range.
So walk me through how an individual, like if you have a story of somebody who may have participated in that.
Sure. No one in particular, and that might be violating lending laws to single any one person out. But the way it works is that we go around to companies. We invite them to join the Community Loan Center at no fee to the employer, and then we market the program to employees. When an employee needs access to a loan, they would go online to our website, fill out the loan application, sign it electronically. When they hit submit, that triggers an email to be sent to their business owner or HR department, who then verifies the information, makes sure everything's correct. And then once they verify the email, money is wired into that employee's account, and it's paid back over a period of up to a year through payroll deduction.
So, and Bador, with the Texas Appleseed, typically we see a lot of these people who take out loans with payday lenders. They're unbanked. You know, they don't have banking accounts and they don't have good credit. Is that a barrier?
Well, one thing that's important to keep in mind is that many people who use payday loans, and in fact most, are banked, because you generally have to put up a paycheck, rather a check on your account, or allow them to debit your bank account in order to get the loan. And so I think it's a common misperception that people are unbanked to use this product. You know, we're seeing a broader and broader cross-section of individuals. The average incomes tend to be $40,000 or less. But with the economic hardships and unemployment that families were facing, we have seen an expansion in the groups of people and the ranges of income impacted by these products. You know, just to put what Matt told you into dollars and cents, he said that their loan cost the borrower over a year about $120 to borrow $1,000. And payday loans here in Texas to borrow $1,000 cost $200 to $300 for 2 weeks. So just to put into dollars and cents, you know, what that kind of having access to the kind of loan product that Matt's talking about means in terms of the bottom lines of our families. You know, it's a dramatic improvement over what's dominating the market today.
So Dennis Knoll over at the San Antonio Area Foundation, what is the biggest holdup? Why can't we do this tomorrow?
Well, there are a couple of things. One of the things is that this has to go through the OCCC. It has to go through Austin, and there's a regulatory process, because while these institutions won't take deposits and won't be normal banks, they will be consumer credit organizations. And so far, that's been a holdup for groups. The second thing is the formation of capital, is that we do need to get the money in the bank in order to fund the models that are out there.
Okay, we're going to continue this conversation. We're talking about a community alternative to predatory payday lend shops. These are places that the lenders, these predatory shops, they high interest loans. People come in and they find themselves on the hook, stuck with these loans for quite some time, difficult for them to get them out of. If you have a question or a comment, call in. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. You could also email us at thesource@tpr.org. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Payday lend shops, also auto title lenders, sometimes they're called predatory lender shops because they charge these large rates and fees for these loans, and sometimes working families have a hard time getting out from under them, but they have no choice sometimes. They need a loan. They're in an emergency. They're in a pinch, in a bind. But what if there was an alternative? What if there was a community-driven lender out there that would help these folks and keep the interest rates low and allow these people to escape that terrible burden of a big predatory loan? That's what we're talking about this afternoon. Joining me is Dennis Knoll. He's the president and CEO of the San Antonio Area Foundation. Matt Hull, he is with the Texas Association of Community Development Corporation. And also Ann Bador is with a policy analyst with the Texas Appleseed in the area of consumer protection. We want to hear your questions and comments. The number is 210-614-8980. Let's get some of these callers on the air. Jonathan has called in. Jonathan, welcome to The Source. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, it's great talking to you guys. And I think having a community type thing like this would be an excellent way to defeat these people. These people are amoral, and I don't know how they sleep at night. I served 5 years in the military, active duty. I came back and started going to college on my GI Bill. And as with a lot of things in bureaucracy, I got on a backlog, and I spent all my savings trying to stay in my apartment, and I ended up getting evicted. I used a title loan once to fix my car. I paid it back as soon as I could. I ended up sleeping out in the woods on Northwest Vista until I finally got help from the VA. But so I guess my question to you is, how long is it going to take for something like this to actually be envisioned? I'd love to be a part of it in any way I can.
Jonathan, thank you for your service. Amazing story. Let's get an answer for you. Yes, sir. Go ahead. Yes.
Matt, you might want to talk about the process and where you guys are in things.
Sure. And again, it's important to know that our product, the Community Loan Center of Texas, you know, it's just one of many products that are coming online, some of them looking very much like traditional loans, some of them being really driven by technology. With our particular case, the pilot that's been going on for the past 2.5 years in Brownsville, it's up and running. For us to go statewide at this point, a few things have to happen. One, the state of Texas, the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner, has to approve some software that's been developed to run the program across the state through different organizations. And then second, we really need to reach out to banks, corporations, social investors to raise the loan capital to relend to the community, to those who are in need of this product. We're not seeking grants. We're seeking small interest loans in order to be able to relend in the community. And that's what really it's going to take. It's going to take the corporate sector, the philanthropic sector, and socially minded individuals coming together to invest in these products to help get them off the ground.
All right, let's get another caller on the air. Victor is called in. Victor, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I think this is a great and long overdue idea, but I can see how difficult it would be to implement it. I wonder if it wouldn't be faster to pass laws that would force these payday loan companies themselves that are already established to follow the parameters that you're trying to implement.
Okay, that's a good idea. Well, let's get Ann Bader to respond to that. Ann?
I think that you're exactly right, Victor. You know, we see this as it's sort of a puzzle with lots of different pieces, and one of those pieces is giving people access to better products. But a really important part of that piece is also making the laws better. You know, and the city of San Antonio took, I think, some very very courageous action in passing a local ordinance that at least puts minimum standards in the market on affordability. But, you know, I believe that it's time for the state also to step up and really take action. You know, these businesses have been operating through what I see as a loophole in the law to get around interest rate caps that already exist and a lot of businesses have to abide by. You know, what we've seen in the markets is that it's really hard for better products to compete because there are so many of these payday and title stores that they can't, you know, they can't afford to put the big billboards up and to have all the TV ads and to have all the marketing that people see from the really high-cost payday and auto title lenders. So to allow the very lax regulations for some of the worst products in the market really stifles competition, and having meaningful regulation could go a very long way in improving the situation.
We know that the city of San Antonio did pass ordinances to try to control the payday lenders in San Antonio, but that's been an uphill battle, right, Dennis Noel?
Well, it has been, and the problem is there are a number of things in Texas that are absolutely wonderful, but on this count, Texas is woefully behind the rest of the country. Ann's group put together a report about a year and a half ago, and that report indicated that 60% of the profits in the predatory lending industry came from Texas. That's because of lax regulation. So we now have regulations in place, and they increase the transparency that the consumer has, so they understand the loan product a little bit better, has to be in English and Spanish. There's now a limitation on amount. There's now a number of installments. What remains to be seen is whether or not the payday lenders are actually paying attention to the regulators.
Yeah,
we know that many of them didn't even bother to register.
Right. We see a legal tussle going on between the payday lenders in San Antonio. And we see, like in Balcones Heights, there's all sorts of – because that's not San Antonio. So we see these little islands of payday lenders here in this in the metropolitan area. But the payday lender shops have refused to cooperate with San Antonio. They tried to sue the city saying that these regulations were not proper, and that got thrown out of court. This is not something that's easy. It's taken up a lot of manpower from City Hall to continue with this.
And you know, what's the situation on Balcones Heights is many of the national groups will see someone downtown, and then they will send them to Balcones Heights to sign the loan agreement so that they're not subject to the San Antonio regulations. They really found a way around that sort of loophole, which is very sad.
And in Austin, we've got state lawmakers who run payday lending outfits, and the regulatory body that's supposed to control payday lenders, they're deeply involved in the industry and have said some terribly callous things about the people that go to these services. So it's going to be a long time before we see changes in Austin on this.
Well, I'm afraid that's right, and we didn't get a lot of encouragement out of the last legislative session either. The bill that would have put state regulation into effect died in committee in the House. It did get through the Senate, but I don't know whether or not local regulation needs to come first, and we need to get public sentiment strongly against predatory lending before Austin will move or not. But there's also a great question as to whether or not the Consumer Credit Commission here in Texas is going to be very aggressive when it's led by somebody from the predatory lending industry.
Now, when we talk about payday lenders and the problems that people have with this, I guess typically think this is an inner city problem, but this is also something that's hitting the rural areas. Isn't that right, Matt?
I think that's correct, and Ann has a better handle on this than I certainly do.
Okay, Ann?
We are looking – I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yes, well, in studying these markets, I've definitely seen an expansion in rural communities as well as urban. You see a lot of in smaller towns, especially towns that are kind of a central hub in a rural area. You see the main street occupied with lots and lots of these stores. Like I was just in Marble Falls and saw, in the downtown area, a number of these different outlets setting up shop. And I think it indicates families are struggling. And that's just a reality. I think it's a reality of the economic times. But when we give our struggling families some of the worst financial products on the market, it's not something that's building the financial stability of our families or communities. And so I think it is an expanding issue, an expanding problem, and it's why we're seeing more and more communities noticing this issue. Just to give you a quick statistic, in 2012, the Texas Catholic Conference surveyed nonprofits around the state. And what came back from that survey is that 32%, like pretty much one-third of the people coming in asking for assistance at nonprofits, were in trouble with payday or auto title loans. So these problems are it's oftentimes our churches and our nonprofits that end up paying the bill because families get into such desperate straits that they just can't handle the payments on these loans anymore.
We got an email from a listener. They say I work in the mental health industry in San Antonio. A disturbing trend I've noticed is that people with severe mental illness, a psychosis, are getting loans from banks off their expected Social Security and Social Security disability checks. This population receives their checks because it's been determined that their mental illness is so profound they will not be able to work. So once these individuals start having to pay interest, not only is a source of income, but they get stuck in a downward financial spiral. So, Dennis Knoll,
the first person that called in, Jonathan, called this immoral. If giving a payday loan at 500% interest to someone who isn't mentally competent isn't immoral, I don't know what is. This is a real example of how egregious this is. And sadly, what we're seeing more and more is that seniors are having to go to predatory lenders because Social Security doesn't stretch as far as it used to. Medicare doesn't provide everything that they need. They hit one emergency, and all of a sudden they're at the predatory lender, and they too, being seniors, don't have a source of income to offset it with.
So how can the community help get this thing going? Because obviously from the calls and the emails, we know that there are people out there that care. They want to see something done.
There are a couple different things. One of them is we have to tell our legislators that this is important and that we need to regulate
this. Well, you tell them at the ballot box. That's the only thing they pay attention to.
I couldn't agree with you more. And we have to tell folks that won't stand up against folks that are taking advantage of the most disadvantaged folks in our community, that we won't tolerate that anymore. And then there will be time when these funds do come to fruition, and we will need help with that. We'll need folks to help to fund these, folks to make loans to them, and those will primarily be foundations and corporations and the Community Reinvestment Act funds from banks. But
right, and we need a high level of community awareness because you're not going to be able to take out commercial time and the news and stuff like that. It's going to be getting people to know what's available and getting people to guide them. Because these people typically, you know, they don't have an awareness of what's available to them.
That's exactly right. And that's why we want to use some of the financial literacy centers that we have here in town, like the Empowerment Centers that are sponsored by United Way Catholic Charities and the Bloomberg Group, to drive these loans to people who are coming, trying to get a better hold on their finances. We want to give them one more resource. So hopefully, at some point in the near future, we'll be able to report back to you that we've got the ball rolling on these actively and that we're actually making loans.
And so, Matt, Brownsville was able to do it, and now you're learning the lessons they did, and so you're going to bring it to San Antonio, but we still don't have a timeline. We don't know when that could happen.
That's correct. It really is dependent upon the state, the Office of the Commissioner, to really come around, approve the software, and approve some of the groups that we're working with as partners to get their active lender license in place, and then we can move forward. But as of right now, there's no time frame.
All right. Well, we definitely want to keep on top of this and bring our listeners updates. This is something, obviously, they are very in tune with. They want to see results. Dennis Knoll, President and CEO of the San Antonio Area Foundation, Matt Hull, the Texas Association of Community Development Corporations, and also Ann Vador. She is the Policy Analyst for the Texas Appleseed Area Consumer Protection. This is The Source on KSTX. We'll be right back after the NPR news.